Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Center field, sending Chaz McCormick all the way back, and that will be a leadoff home run for Jonathan India.
How much longer did you watch after that? How much longer?
When it was 6-0?
6-0, okay. Sean, how far did you get into last night's Houston Astros-Cincinnati Reds game?
I think six. I think six.
You got
well.
To six, okay. I'll be honest. Look, we're in September. It's football season. I'm not even kidding. That pitch, I was out.
You're just like,
I was
good.
Out. I was out. And I feel bad because I should have had a little bit of faith in Spencer Arrighetti, who's been pitching great of late. But things got worse. Things got worse. The Astros lost. Not the end of the world, but they lost 12-5 to the Cincinnati Reds, who they amazingly have not beaten since 2016.
Yeah, I just saw someone just posted the lineup from that day. Mike Fiers was the pitcher. Jake Marisnik was in left field. Correa, Springer, all out there.
They've won more World Series than games against the Reds since 2016. Two times as many.
That's incredible.
It's a really random stat.
When you put it that way, like you said, they've won more World Series than they've beaten the Reds. So you're like, wow, like that's improbable. I know they don't play a ton, but how? Because they've mostly been a bad team, like a very bad team. They're better this year, but like the Reds have been the bottom of the barrel for like years.
You only play them every year as of last year, so these things can happen, and eventually we will get to a point where, hey, the Astros have played enough teams over a set amount of years where a streak like this will not exist. But it is an interesting one. I'm going to say something about Spencer Arrighetti. I hope that he doesn't take it personal because I think that we all agree he has had a really fun season. It's been nice to see him bounce back, and it's been really impressive to see what he has done over the course of the last month. He's got a lot of potential. I am not giving him a playoff rotation rose. He is officially out. He is the first Astros starting pitcher I am officially ruling out of that rotation, Joe.
Interesting. So, because last month he had three starts where he had 12, 13, and 11 strikeouts. Mm-hmm. He was incredible in mm-hmm. those starts. He was pretty good in his other ones against Baltimore and the White Sox, so where he only had 5 and 6 strikeouts. So he was absolutely electric in August.
Yeah, he was.
That's why he won the Rookie of the Month and everything. Is it just that you see these big disaster outings and you just don't trust him?
He's a rookie.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. This is on the table. I'm not saying it's going to happen every single time, but we've seen this from him a couple of times this year, and I sensed watching that first inning back this morning that after that first pitch, his body language, the vibes, you can kind of understand how things unraveled the way that they did.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I'm fine with this take. I'm good with Spencer Arrighetti being part of the bullpen in the playoffs if you want him to be. If he got left off the playoff roster, it wouldn't totally shock me.
Do you think they would do that with his strikeouts per nine? I don't know. I feel like you do want a guy who could strike people out in the playoffs, and it might be difficult for him coming in a bullpen kind of role.
And that's the question is like, is do you feel comfortable with him coming in for the bullpen? If you do feel comfortable with him being a bullpen guy, like they're going to do with Blanco now, like they're going to do what they've done with Hunter Brown in the past or Christian Javier in the past, like this is a team that's tried multiple different guys in the bullpen versus the rotation. if they feel comfortable with Spencer Arrighetti coming out of the bullpen in a game, then I'm going to trust them at this point because it's kind of like the Kikuchi thing where they deserve the benefit of the doubt. But it wouldn't stun me if he's also just not on the playoff.
I'd be pretty stunned by that. I'm thinking, well, who else would they put in? Who would they put in instead of him is more what I'm thinking. And off the top of my head, I can't think of somebody on the minor league roster that they would have on as a pitcher as opposed to him.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like we're going from a roster cut more, down in the
Yeah, he could be more like Urquidy in 2022 where he's like
something
barely
like that.
Used.
Yeah.
He was barely used at all.
Right. And hey, look, I mean, if you need a long relief guy, you need a mop-up guy, okay, put him in there. See how he does. It'll be his first real playoff seasoning. I like Arrighetti long-term here. I just don't feel like he's going to be in the playoff rotation. Day One Donna says, oh, Blanco's back in the rotation, no longer kicked to the curb. No, he's out too. No, we're down to our four. It's now a matter of like when you use him. It's Framber Valdez. It's Justin Verlander, probably not early on. It's Yusei Kikuchi. And then it's Hunter Brown. And I don't know the order yet, but I feel like over the course of the next month, we can have our own little reality TV show here where we give out roses for like it's The Bachelor or something like that. And we determine like who gets the number one rose. I think that's Framber's by default.
Yeah.
And after that, I don't know. And in three-man rotation, there is going to be somebody else that we're not going to be giving a rose. We're taking the other three to the honeymoon suite.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much just on board with this take. I want to find a way to push back. But I mean, we talked all about Justin Verlander this week and the struggles that he's had. But I think it really just comes down to who do you have more faith in that they're going to figure it out to be good in the playoffs. They don't have to be excellent or great in the playoffs, but do you want Justin Verlander to be good in the playoffs, or do you expect Spencer Arrighetti to be good in the playoffs? I'm going to bet on Justin Verlander every single time. Like, it's just, that's why you're right. Spencer Arrighetti is the odd man out in the rotation. Unless he somehow, like, if he bounces back in a big way and JV continues to struggle, there are a couple starts left that, but I can't imagine a world in where JV, because he's the fourth guy, is left off the rotation instead of Arrighetti.
Yeah, it's not. I don't think this is a brain buster of a take. I don't think it's even that good of one. I just think, hey, Spencer Arrighetti, that's on the table if he pitches in the postseason. And I don't think the offense is good enough to overcome that. Very few offenses are good enough to overcome a 9-run first inning. You know?
At one point, they seemed like they might have a chance where I would just check the box score to see.
Oh, you kept on looking.
I was
completely out. I went to go watch the not very good TV show, The Rings of Power, the first three episodes of that.
Oh, for the second season?
Yeah. I can't help it. I like the Lord of the Rings universe.
I never watched the first season, so it was on my list of things to watch.
It's okay. I didn't like the twist at the end of season one, but whatever. I'm still watching it.
Yeah, I
don't know what I'm doing.
I kind of keep my eye on just because it's like, well, just in case they come back.
Galadriel's hot. What else do you want from me? So is the other girl that's the sister of Isildur.
I feel like 75% of the shows that Paul watches, he's like, yeah, they stink, but what else am I going
to
do?
Yeah, you want me to watch baseball? Baseball in September?
Oh, that's funny.
Come on.
I got to season 8 of Game of Thrones, so I got to the final season.
Oh, you got through it all the way?
I got to episode 1. Of
season oh, 8. Yeah. Episode 1, episode 2. They teased you. They made it seem like something big is going to happen.
I know what's happening, I am almost just like, I've like lost my motivation to finish it.
There were some moments. Unfortunately, the moment that could have been was entirely shot in the dark, and we have no idea what happened.
Yes.
HBO should definitely go back in under the hood and twist a few knobs to make it look a little bit better if it's going to live on their service forever. Like, just do a little bit of editing.
How about just brighter?
Yeah.
Brighter.
I'm not saying change like the quality of it or the, you know, storyline. I'm just make it easier to watch.
So, you want to talk about Spencer Arrighetti, the Astros playoff rotation. That is on the table. It is that time. Since today is the kickoff of the NFL season, we're going to do what every other hacky sports radio show does, okay? We have to. We have to have our takes in. Because everyone can make a prediction. Everyone has an opinion. Everyone has a you-know-what. But we got to do it so that when we're right, we can rub it in your face how we were right. But if we're wrong, we will forget about it and act like it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is speak for your pizza culture.
Yeah, what were our picks? What was our record during picks last year?
We don't even remember.
After, like, week four.
That's how far you guys got to tracking it last year was week four?
Yeah, there's only so many 1-for-5s and 2-for-4s that you can put in where you're like, what's the point?
MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975, though, if you're into it. So We're going to go through, like, really quickly at the back of a lot of these segments, prediction-wise, who's winning each division. Mm-hmm. So let's just start off with, I think, the easiest one, the AFC West. Chiefs are minus 260 to win the West. Chargers with Jim Harbaugh aboard, plus 380. They also got a ginger defensive lineman turned fullback. That's fun. The Raiders are plus 1,000. The Broncos are plus 2,000. The Raiders and Broncos are not worth your time this year.
Nope.
We're all picking the Chiefs here, right?
Yes.
Sean Payton? No, yeah, I'm picking the Chiefs.
Right.
I mean,
Bo Nix? I don't know. Like,
I don't hate the Chargers as like a...
Chargers are a fun play, but plus 380 is not long enough for me.
Yeah, could they be a wild card team?
Yeah, I would look at their wild card odds as opposed to the division.
But, like, I wouldn't pick... I'm not going to pick anyone to beat the Chiefs this
year.
No,
I'm not either. I think they're going to win it.
Especially this division. This division stinks.
It does, and I think you take a look at the Chiefs' schedule because they're in this division, and I think their NFC schedule is rather favorable, too. I have a hard time picking against the Chiefs at all this year. I mean, we'd love to see someone take them down because I don't want the Chiefs to have a three-peat on the Patriots.
Greatest dynasty of all time.
Stop.
They would be.
Stop.
Okay.
They'd have to win two more Super Bowls after that Super Bowl that they would have to win.
They'd have to win five straight?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah.
Even though it took 20 years for
I'm gonna ask for something completely unrealistic because, yeah, I realize the walls are crumbling in.
Oh, you're getting nervous.
Not only is my dynasty about to be a thing of the past, it's also about to be lapped.
Ooh.
It does feel that way. Does feel that way.
Yeah. Joe, you should have listened to the day after the Super Bowl Gallant
show. I think I do remember that.
What did I do? I don't even remember.
Yeah, you're pretty bummed. You're pretty bummed that the Chiefs won.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
It's a real moment of weakness.
What can we say?
All I know is that right now on the Pat McAfee show, the Chiefsaholic guy, the
17 and a half years.
He got 17 and a half years for robbing a bank.
Man, they sentenced him today.
Oh,
what a bunch of a-holes. That's low.
Cruel and unusual.
Let him see the banner raised. Is he going to get processed while this is all happening? Probably.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if you get sentenced today, I would imagine it's like 8 to 10 hours before you're officially in a cell. Are they going to let you out? Are they going to send you to federal penitentiary that doesn't even have a DirecTV and NFL Sunday ticket? I mean, what is this?
I imagine he does get sent federal, right? Because he crossed 100 state lines to do this.
I don't think that federal prison is NFL Sunday ticket. Could be wrong.
I mean,
probably with the switch over from DirecTV to YouTube TV. I don't know if they made the switch.
Someone give my man a cell phone.
Yeah, well, if he's in Texas.
Oh.
DirecTV, no ESPN. So, you know.
The funniest thing is
that hotline.
They granted this guy bail.
I know.
And he immediately...
And he left.
He immediately did exactly what everyone joked that he would do.
Yes. And he was on the run for a while, too.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, it took him a couple of months to get him, if I'm not mistaken.
How long would you last on the run?
Oh. I don't think very long.
No?
No. I'd like to say I would, but no. I mean, I don't like carrying cash around because I don't like making eye contact with homeless people because it makes me feel guilty and I feel like I need to give them some, you know? And I'd have to be all cashed out, and I don't have that much cash.
A lot of cameras these days.
Yeah, that's a problem. It's just really hard.
I think, Paul, you could with the camera on the cameras front, you could grow a giant beard, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, I'd have to shave my eyebrows. I don't want to do that. They're great.
Thin them out a little, yeah. You know,
they're great.
Why did they shave your eyebrows?
Because they're distinctive. Unmissable. Okay. I mean, they're very recognizable.
Especially with the AI technology. I'm imagining this is some sort of CSI maneuver that they're doing where they, hold on, who's that bearded man? Enhance. No, just his eyebrows. Run those through the system. And then, yep, we got him. That's the PG train.
Whoop, whoop. Anyway. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I think Arrigetti's out of the playoff rotation. I also would like Jeff Bagwell to be out of All of Our Lives because he doesn't add much to the broadcast table. Highlights from Jeff Bagwell on the call last night. Oh, boy, there were more groans, just like you expect. Stick around. It's Gallant and George.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I mean, there's ways to combat that. You can wipe your jersey up and down and change sequences and off your jersey that you can't. There's no way to pick up, but people seem to don't do that anymore. When I came up, they did do that.
I was tempted to do something before today's show, but I felt that it would be dishonest. And I don't know if you just heard that clip. That was Jeff Bagwell on the call of last night's Astros-Reds game. The Reds won 12-5. I was tempted to bleep that out.
Oh.
So it would sound like he's talking about wiping. I didn't do it, but I thought about it.
That would have been very funny. What is he talking about?
So, as Arrighetti's day was going worse and worse,
yeah,
Bagwell theorized that perhaps he is tipping his pitches, and then he just went into a back-in-my-day tangent about how back in my day, I guess they rubbed the ball on their jersey to prevent themselves from tipping pitches. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why how that would help so much.
I mean, there's ways to combat that. You can wipe your up and down. And
good job, Sean. That was quick. What? We're immature, Joe. It's okay.
No, I'm laughing.
It's not. You're not laughing loud. Does it hurt your tooth?
Yeah, it does. I'm dying.
For those who don't know,
I have a broken tooth.
Explain how this happened.
I was helping my buddy move.
Oh, man. No good deed goes unpunished.
He missed a step on the stair with a couch. So when he fell, I went face first into the corner of the couch. And I have a broken tooth. And I'm at 4 o'clock, I'm getting it yanked out. So we'll see if I'm here tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
So it hurts quite a bit.
I mean, look, I'm
quite a bit.
I'm impressed that you have been doing this for how many days?
Four, because it happened on Sunday.
We had no idea.
Well, because it didn't hurt that bad. And then all of a sudden last night, like, I didn't fall asleep till like 4 a.m., I think, because it just hurt.
Oh. But did you have like popcorn or something?
It just started hurting like so bad.
Oh, gosh.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. It's not great.
Not saying you don't brush your teeth, but kids, brush your teeth and
I do
floss
brush
your
my teeth.
Teeth,
yes. The dip probably didn't help, but you know.
Oh, that's 100% it.
100%.
Do you pack back right?
No.
Well, I don't know how you pack.
I pack up here in the front left.
Front left, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But well, yeah. Actually, so it's as far away from
it's
that
as far
tooth,
away
least.
As possible. Yeah. But I'm
it still cannot be. I'm sure his dentist isn't going to be like, yeah, no problem. Keep doing it.
Also, don't know the last time I went to a dentist. Like,
no?
Well, I mean, I went like 3 years without health insurance with government health insurance.
Gotcha.
So when I did that, I didn't also pay for dental insurance.
But we have.
Oh, I know.
We get two checkups a year.
Oh, I know.
So you just didn't do it?
No.
You afraid of the dentist?
A little bit.
You go enough, you won't be afraid.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, because you don't do it often, it bothers you more.
That's understandable. I get it.
It's always you know what it is? It's the noises. Like if they're working on your mouth. Like, it's like if you ever like the drill, like
I know you're talking cavity, about, yeah.
It's the noise that bothers me more than anything else. Like, it's not anything to do with my mouth or the pain or the shots or whatever. And I hate needles too. But like, it's just the noise bothers me a ton.
The funny part is my friend is my dentist. And it's very interesting that when she comes in, cleans my teeth, and she like talks to me about people in her group of friends. And she's like roasting a friend to me. Or I'm trying to roast one back, but I've got gauze in my mouth. And I'm like, oh, rah, 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 he's kind of a loser. You know, it's fun. Anyway, Joe, I think on the Twitch, someone suggested, like, why not talk to Paul Wall? Can we get Paul Wall on today?
I think Paul was on station this morning.
Right.
Yeah. So I
get a diamond grill.
Just will that help?
I don't know.
Is that what they do?
Well, they don't replace their teeth with it, but...
Okay, that's what I thought. Just can I get a replacement tooth? Just a diamond tooth?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can.
Like, I mean, it's the hardest thing that there is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that seems like a legit idea.
Paul Wall can probably refer you to Johnny Dang. Boom, now you're cooking.
Yeah, with that middle management salary, just like,
promo code Wall.
Do a little trade agreement.
Yeah.
I like that. So, Joe George's tooth is annoying him.
Yeah.
He's going to have that worked on. Jeff Bagwell's been annoying a lot of Astros fans.
He's annoying all of us.
On the broadcast. He makes a noise that I'm imagining Joe's thinking in his mind a lot. Jeff Bagwell groans a lot. He just groans in the middle of the broadcast. This is just in the first 15 minutes of yesterday's game. Here is one of a few groans by Bagwell in the first inning.
Dropping two out of three to Oakland and three out of four to Milwaukee. Here, and right now Espinal is going to head to first to load the bases.
So that's the first one. Here's another groan by Jeff Bagwell.
Here's Santiago Espinal.
Oh.
I don't know why he groans as much as he does.
Because it's instead of saying words. I mean, the first one's a ball four, right? So instead of just being like, that sucks, he just, ugh. He's just caveman.
I kind of like it.
Like, he just goes caveman.
But for some people, they don't.
It does make it seem like you're watching the game with Jeff Bagwell, because that's what you do on your couch. But it's also not great.
Sean, we had a groan yesterday, right? I'm losing track of all these.
Yeah, I can find it.
All right, cool.
There's so many groans.
He does it mid-Todd Callis speaking, often.
And it's funny, too, because like, they're not good groans ever. Like, they're never like, when anything like...
what's like, a good groan?
Well, like, nothing positive is happening in the game.
Okay.
So he's not just like, it's always just, he's very upset when it's happening.
Do you want to... That sounded more like a good groan.
No, but like, I know in the past he's done the I'm happy groans when Yordan Alvarez hits home runs. I've heard them. I don't know if we can find them, but now I feel like we just need to find TV calls of Jeff Bagwell.
We might have to wait until 10 o'clock to play the happy groans by Jeff Bagwell, you know?
But yeah, they're just strange. They don't bother me.
They don't?
I guess I feel like I don't hear it as much during the broadcast.
Yeah.
I hear it. You hear it after.
That's amazing.
Like, if you hear, like, if you watch the video on Twitter of a highlight, you're more likely to hear it. But just, like, as it's happening. Except now I feel like I'm listening for it. Like, if we had the sound on in the TV.
I encourage all of you to listen for it, okay? I try to give you fun things to listen for during baseball season because I have ADD and can't appreciate baseball the way that some of you diehard baseball fans have. I'll admit it. It's a me thing. It's not a you thing. It's a me thing.
I mean, it's not always the best.
I mean, a game like yesterday.
I mean, like, there's people who probably watch all of yesterday's games who are Astros fans. Like, how?
I can't believe it.
And I love baseball, but, like, when you're down 7-0.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just got better things to do.
Yeah. So, to get to 7-0, to get to 5-0, to get to 3-0, that's where I imagine some people started tuning out. I tuned out after the first pitch. The Reds just have their number. And you know what? If the Reds continuing to beat the Astros means the Astros can still win World Series, fine. I will take it. Okay, I do like football. Quick predictions. This is the most boring division in the NFL now. Shout out to the AFC South. No longer the most boring division in the NFL thanks to your Houston Texans. But the NFC South, yeah, not very good. Are we all in agreement that the Atlanta Falcons, -138, are going to win the NFC South as we continue to do NFL division predictions at the back end of segments?
Yeah, I'm going Falcons. I wanted to make an argument for Tampa. They won last year. But if Kirk Cousins can – the only thing against him is if he can't move because of his Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going Falcons.
That offense was so bad last year with Desmond Ridder, despite having lots of weapons that we all think are very good. So I'm taking the Falcons too. Because Kirk Cousins, not a great quarterback, but you definitely would have loved to have him back in the days of Davis Mills here.
Mm-hmm. Sean? That means he's taking the Panthers.
No, that's my thoughts on this division. I don't love it when a favorite I don't really believe in, but they're such a big favorite. Well, more on the NFC East later, but I mean, what am I going to sit here and take New Orleans? Like, sit here and take the Bucks to go back to back. That's the fact they won it last year almost, and then they lost their OC makes me feel worse about them. I can't even work myself into a contrarian take. It's like, it better be the Falcons.
I love that their offensive coordinator, Dave Canales, is now the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. This is the same man who wrote a book about an affair he had on his wife that he co-wrote with his wife.
Oh yeah. I didn't know that part. Well, he co-wrote
it? Easy, Jeff. We don't want to dive into your closet. I went down quite the rabbit hole last night.
Yes, you did.
Thanks to a tweet by Archbishop DeShays. Holy crap. I didn't know any of that stuff about Jeff Bagwell.
I didn't
Wow.
Either. I'm glad you started just sending all that info.
Oh, I
into the group chat because I was just reading.
My God. Shout out to my friend Miles for sending me all of that. Holy smokes.
Oh.
Stop. Now I don't. Now I kind of want to move away. So the Falcons are minus 138 by bookie.ag to win the NFC South. The Bucks plus 300, Saints plus 400, and the Panthers plus 1,100. Man, the Panthers are significantly have better odds to win their division than my New England Patriots, who are by far the worst in the NFL, plus 2,500. My God.
For a division?
Yeah, for a division. Plus 2,500 in the East.
That sounds like Super Bowl odds.
No, those are probably more. God, I can't even imagine what their Super Bowl odds are. I don't want to even see it. Being up there in Boston, listening to Boston Sports Talk Radio, just clowning on them, I was thinking to myself, we had some good times. We had some good times. Just playing Good Riddance by Green Day in the background. Another turning point, Jacoby Brissett is ass. All right, it is Gallon and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. 713-780-3776. If you want to jump aboard, you can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston as well. And you can also listen to us on 97.9 HD2. How about that? Coming up next. Why wouldn't the Houston Texans win the AFC South? A fun addition going around the south side of the AFC next here on Gallon and George. First, let me tell you about my friends and my bookie and mybookie.ag. Yeah, we're giving you some fun odds. I just keep on thinking, though, about the New England Patriots. Honestly, my bookie, bleep you. Bleep you for saying that the New England Patriots are plus 2,500 to win the AFC East, while the Jets are plus 165, the Bills are plus 190, and the Dolphins are plus 204. Plus 2,500! That's just mean! It hurts my feelings. Why couldn't you make it plus 2,000? It's fine. MyBookie.ag, though, you can bet on all sorts of different things at that website, and you may as well get in your predictions for the NFL season right now. Who do you want to win MVP? C.J. Stroud, still pretty good odds, plus 1,000 to win MVP. Or maybe you want to go take a look at the Coach of the Year conversation. Are you going to be like what Joe George hopes, taking Matt Eberflus, who's got the second best odds at plus 910? You can bet on literally anything at mybookie.ag. The election, what's going on in the World Series, daily Astros games, and a whole lot more. If I'm taking anybody to win the Super Bowl, long odds for the Houston Texans are definitely appealing. Plus 1,600. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. Use promo code BET975 for an awesome deposit bonus when you sign up.
Time to take a ride around the south side of the AFC with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The south side, yeah. The south side, the south side. Everybody do the south side, the south side.
I danced to that. You can see it on our YouTube stream at ESPN Houston or on Twitch at ESPN 975. There might not have been music in the background, so it might have been just really awkward.
There was not music on Twitch.
Damn it, Sean.
So the radio heard the music, and but didn't get to see the dancing. The Twitch and YouTube and Twitter got to see the dancing.
So I did that all for nothing.
But didn't.
That's not true.
Did that all for
nothing. I mean, you did it for us.
Sam, our digital person, thinks your dancing videos are hilarious and keeps using them as.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one for the. That's a new GIF.
Let's text her right now. Say, hey, we got another Paul.
Yeah,
for you.
I'll let her know.
The last one that we used, I look like I'm having a seizure.
Yes,
as I
you
said,
do.
Texas swarm. And by the way, it's swarming time in the AFC South. The Texans are the front runners to win the AFC South per mybookie.ag plus 105. The Jaguars plus 250. The Colts plus 320. So the odds are actually fairly close together for the top three teams in the division. The Titans are plus 900. Why wouldn't the Texans win the AFC South? I will start. C.J. Stroud gets hurt. That's why they wouldn't win. That's the only way I can see it not happening. I had some doubts going into the offseason, or not offseason, into training camp, because the Colts played the Texans so close in the last game last year, and they did it with Gardner Minshew under center. But it's been a really rough offseason for Anthony Richardson. The vibes do seem off, so while I think the Colts will certainly not be an easy opponent on Sunday for the Texans, I still like them the Texans to win the division over Indianapolis.
I also like the Texans to win the division. Besides injury, if the Texans are not going to win the division, I would say they struggle against all these playoff teams that they're going to play. That the tough part of the schedule that we've talked about, Baltimore, Kansas City, Miami, Buffalo, Green Bay, Detroit, the Jets. Like, there's so much, the Dallas Cowboys. There's so many good teams on the schedule this year that I still think it's very possible that they go 9-8 and have a good year.
Damn.
But Jacksonville with an easier schedule makes a run at it. Because I do feel like that we've overlooked Jacksonville. Like, this is a team that won a playoff game, was, 8-3 to start the season last year, and then fell apart. But Trevor Lawrence was hurt, banged up a little bit. Like, I think they've improved the wide receiver room. You know, I was not really a Calvin Ridley believer. So I still kind of think Jacksonville's a threat. I'm also picking the Texans to win the division, though. It wouldn't stun me if they go 9-8 and they miss out by a game.
Okay. The Jaguars are interesting, for sure. Christian Kirk is healthy. That was a problem for them last year. They drafted Brian Thomas Jr. They also brought in Gabe Davis. They completely overhauled their offense. Their offensive line, they added Mitch Morse. I think Cam Robinson's supposed to be healthy for this year. So everything is adding up for Jacksonville to be better than they were last year, specifically down the stretch. Mm-hmm. Two questions I have are, one, do you believe in Trevor Lawrence as a special player? I think he's good. I don't think he's special. I think he regularly misses balls that are very easy. He overthrows guys. I think he fumbles too much. I think the mistakes that he makes are things that will make us talk about him the same way that we talk about Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott in a few years. There's still a little bit of new car smell with Trevor Lawrence. And with Doug Peterson, what he did in Philadelphia was stupendous. But, I mean, he's got a more talented quarterback than he worked with in Philadelphia 100%. And won with in Philadelphia in Nick Foles. And I would say Lawrence, at least in terms of talent, is where Carson Wentz was way back in the day. Because there was a moment where Carson Wentz looked like he might win MVP. But is Peterson as good as he's made out to be? Or was that stretch that they had where they won with Nick Foles 3 games in a row a fluke?
Yeah, I lean fluke, I think, right now. Don't you?
Yeah.
I think you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, Carson Wentz was playing like an MVP before he got hurt that year, but they were so talented, and Nick Foles was always like a fine quarterback, and they got the job done. But then he got fired, 2 years later?
Mm-hmm.
After winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And then now it's this. So they're interesting. A lot of these articles I've read, Paul, about like bold predictions for the NFL season or teams that can surprise you. The Tennessee Titans keep coming up. Do you feel that way at all? Like that they might surprise us this year?
I guess surprised in that I have no expectations for them. But they fired Mike Vrabel and they hired some rando. Like, it's just vintage Titans. Let's hire the most boring coaching candidate possible. And look, you can't predict what a coach is going to do based off of like who he is. It really can't make any predictions on coaches. It is throwing darts blindfolded. But this is the same organization that's had Mike Munchak and Mike Mularkey, and Brian Callahan is another version of that. Basically a football nepo baby who, yes, was with the Bengals, but okay. Like, see the reason Joe Burrow's good? We're going to try to pull that one over everybody. And they just had Mike Vrabel, who's a good coach. So I think that Tennessee has some talent, for sure. But I think they're just going to be annoying. I don't think they're going to actually surprise anyone.
I could see them in the 8-9 win range, like on the high end.
Right,
on the high end. Like, that's them popping.
Yeah.
Like, I really can't see the Jags, like, pop. Like, the best-case scenario for the Jags, I struggle to see them winning 11 games.
I think I'm still part of the holdout group on Trevor Lawrence as part of it. I still think that there's something there that at some point I have to let go of this, but you think back to his freshman year when he won a national championship at Clemson and just like how good he was. And then he was like the prince that was promised, basically, to the NFL.
Yeah, that's what Nick Wright calls him.
And it just, it hasn't worked out that way. But I'm still a believer. Like, I think back to last year when they beat the Texans. Like, yes, they would have lost that game, Jacksonville would have, if Kyme Fairbairn was healthy. But in that game, there's drops all over the field. And I just still view Jacksonville as this. I'm higher on Trevor Lawrence than I am on the organization. And, like, that's what I'm trying to balance out.
Fair enough.
That I would agree with that. I think with Lawrence, what you brought up is a good point. Like, when he came up at Clemson, he was already super polished for someone his age. He just never – he kind of fell behind, it feels like.
I think he plateaued.
Yeah, or his age kept getting – and he didn't get more polished with age.
I totally agree.
I don't think he's an 18 – I think he's more polished than, like, an 18-year-old quarterback now. But he is, like – he just hasn't hit that next level. And if I'm looking at just the quarterbacks in this division who I think can really, like, be something in their careers, I mean, obviously CJ you'd believe in the most. And for me, I think Anthony Richardson, like, the if he figures it out kind of scenario, that's the one I'm most scared of.
The way he was talked about in college, I always was a little skeptical of it because I thought to myself, look who he's playing with. I mean, he had some really good players around him in Clemson, and he was also playing in the ACC, which, as a Syracuse guy, I know, blows. So, with Trevor Lawrence, I was never all the way in. This is not me patting myself on the back. I just always felt that he was put on a pedestal that I didn't necessarily think was merited, but everyone talks about him so much that I figured, okay, well, maybe I'm just wrong here. But to this point, I think we've seen a guy who just hasn't really improved, and we were expecting that to happen. Sometimes the guys who were the great prospects, the problem is they never get better. Like, that's
they never take the next step.
Yeah, and that's where I think Lawrence is. I don't think he's a bad player. I think a lot of Texans fans have gotten a little bit too cocky talking about him. But I also thought in last year's Texas Jaguars game, the same game you're talking about, where there were a lot of drops by the Jaguars, I thought that a lot of what Trevor Lawrence did in that game was just dinking and dunking, and then they had great yards after the catch plays. I think they had like three or four plays where he threw it maybe 2 yards. And then the guys took a 30 to 40 yards afterwards. Now, again, hey, take the yards you can get, all that stuff. But I thought C.J. Stroud outplayed Lawrence in that last game. Jaguars fans got very mad about that take. And you hate to see them go from 8-3 to 9-8. But, hey, it happens.
At least they can watch the Noles.
Honestly, that is a rough place to be, Jacksonville. Because Jacksonville tends to lean Gator.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's better.
The station that RJ, our old front, old friend of the station works at is the home of the Jags and the Gators.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, never mind. They're good. They're good on Saturdays.
Northeast Florida tends to be Gator. Okay. If you go to Western Florida, the Panhandle tends to be Florida State. And also people who didn't get into Florida tends to be Florida State. People that applied and didn't get in. There's a lot of that. It's very funny to see, like, in high school, because I went to high school in St. Pete, a bunch of my friends who didn't get into Florida, who were diehard Florida fans, they became the most diehard Florida State fans. It made me laugh.
Did they go to Florida State?
Or yeah, they ended up going to Florida State because they couldn't get into Florida.
Ah, I got you.
Florida's a good school for Florida. For Florida.
Yeah. It's a good, it's a pretty good SEC school.
It's towards the top of SEC, but it's not Vanderbilt. It's not Missouri. It's not, I think of other ones.
Texas A&M. Texas.
It's Texas, maybe. I don't know. Texas A&M, I'm sorry. It's for the agriculture and the mining. I'm just not into that stuff. Anyway.
I don't know if Texas A&M is a good score or not.
It is. It's okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
Right? Good engineering school.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, there's so many schools in Texas. It's probably the number two state school.
Okay.
I would assume.
Yeah. Number two state school, yeah.
Yeah.
Baylor. Sean's also biased.
So. Oh, no. Oh, no, Rice. Rice is the one that I was forgetting.
Number one? Okay.
Yeah, but they're private. They don't count.
Yeah, not the same.
So there you go, guys.
Sean, are you taking the Texans?
Yeah, I'm taking the Texans. If I had to, like, in the why wouldn't, it would be Anthony Richardson hits a ceiling earlier than we think. It's a, you know, like a Josh Allen leap kind of year with Anthony Richardson. That's the only reason I could see the Texans not winning short of what you said with CJ getting hurt.
That's Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I am Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Spencer Arrighetti, you're out of the playoff rotation. Get to stay on the roster. Don't worry. I'm just going to use you in the bullpen based off of yesterday's performance. We'll also keep you abreast of what's going on in today's Astros game. How many groans has Jeff Bagwell made? And I saw a fascinating story that took place in arguably the messiest franchise in all of American sports, and it has me concerned about ever going back on the dating apps. I'll explain why next. Stick around.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
This was a pretty interesting story coming out of D.C. The Washington Commanders might not have Daniel Snyder anymore, but they're still a mess. And the most recent fun story coming out of, I guess, Ashburn, Virginia now, is that the Commanders fired an employee a day after a video surfaced in which he made comments about the team's players being anti-gay, accused Cowboys owner Jerry Jones of being racist, and called NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell a $50 million puppet. I mean, that last part is true.
That part's very true.
Now, you can't say that about your boss's boss on the air necessarily, but that is true. And this is why, Joe, I'm a little bit concerned about ever going back on the dating apps. And I'm irrelevant. I realize this. I appreciate the people that from time to time do come up to me and say hi when I'm out of the bars. It means the world to me. I'm not kidding. But I'm, for the most part, like, you know, I'm hosting a sports talk radio show in a city that has a lot of sports talk radio stations.
That's so funny. On a quick side note, that reminds me, on our way to Lake Charles, I stopped at a Buc-ee's, and the guy who was giving me beef jerky, he recognized us, and he said he loves our show.
Let's go.
So shout out to you,
Eduardo. Shout out to you, Mr. Man at Buc-ee's.
Yeah, it's just very funny.
He recognized us?
He recognized Paul. He recognized my t-shirt, and he said, I really like that station. I said, what show do you like? He goes, I like Paul, and
oh, damn.
I'm like, Joe, that's me.
It's still no.
I just thought... You really sanitized the story. You didn't tell the full story.
I told the full story last.
The full story last week.
It would have been, at least he didn't go like, at least I'm like, I hate that Joe guy. I like that just
yeah,
Paul Scholes.
Hate him. Hate his co-host.
That would have sucked. But to bring it back to why I'm concerned about the dating apps, I'm a nobody. But now I am concerned that takes that I have on a date could theoretically be used against me. Because this man... Rael Antin, I probably butchered the pronunciation, Washington's vice president of content, had been on his second date on a Hinge with a woman who apparently was recording the conversation that she was having with him. And the O'Keefe Media Group, who does some of this fairly weaselly tactics to expose people, sometimes merited. This one, I don't know. I mean, a guy's talking trash about his boss to a woman on a second date. I suppose maybe you should know better, but I frown upon the tactics. And Joe, you actually watch these videos?
Yeah, I watched the one that they put out because I didn't realize what I was watching at first because it started with the guy from O'Keefe or whatever, and he was like, he would set it up and then it would go to the date. I thought it was very obvious. Maybe there was like an inherent bias watching it, knowing what the end results were. But watching it, I was like, this doesn't seem like a first date. This seems like an interrogation.
An interrogation?
Like this seems like a journalist asking questions, and he is just spilling the beans. And maybe
obvious.
I thought it was obvious.
Okay.
She must have been like really hot for it to not be obvious.
I'm assuming so.
Because there's no way that like he did not connect the dots. Because she kept, he would ask certain questions and then she would want more. So she would ask follow-ups like about Roger. And like, I'm like, this feels so obvious watching it. But it was weird because like it's so casual. But you can tell he has no idea what's going on. Like some of the stuff he said, like the worst stuff's not even about him. Like it's about his view of the players and what the players think. And I'm not surprised to see he got fired, but if I worked for an NFL team or anyone at this point, I'm off the date now.
I wonder if that's the next stance for the NFL, is that no employees can go on dating apps anymore. You can't gamble if you work for the NFL at all. You can't even do fantasy football gambling. Just a league with your buddies. You can't do it. $100, $10, doesn't matter. You can't do it. Imagine if that's the next stance. You can't go on the dating apps. I mean, I could see the NFL doing it. And I'm reading some of the comments that he's saying. Is it that out of the realm of possibility that an owner of an NFL team might be a little racist? Might be a little bit racist. Just a thought.
That like an 80-year-old from Arkansas might. Like that's what we're talking about.
We're not making the accusations. And there probably are some players in the locker room that aren't exactly the most politically correct.
100%.
I mean, that's just sort of natural.
I mean, they always say the NFL locker room, like the players pride themselves on saying it's the greatest melting pot in the world. Because you have players from upper class and lower class and all these different walks of life, and that's going to include players who don't like gay people, and there's going to include players who are racist. People.
Right.
Like, Richie Incognito has been doing rounds recently of interviews I've seen on podcasts. Like, those players exist in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. So, he's liked, too.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. I feel for this guy. He just thought it was a date. He probably should have known better based off the way Joe is describing it. Sean's moving his head back and forth.
I just think if Jerry Jones comes up on a first or second date, have your radar be. Why is Jerry Jones coming up on a date?
She a diehard Cowboys fan?
I don't know.
Did she strike you watching this as somebody who knew sports?
The way they clip it, you only see the question answer.
Gotcha.
There's no like fluff of the date in between, at least of the video I saw. So you don't see anything else. If she's like buttering him up with like compliments and then sneaking in Roger Goodell questions.
It sucks that we live in a world where anything you say can now be used against you due to all the devices that we have. And I understand it. There are some people out there who believe that you should watch what you say. But I mean, I don't know. We're all guaranteed to free speech by the First Amendment of our Constitution. And it kind of sucks that some people would potentially be getting information or audio of you secretly, especially on a second date on Hinge.
Yeah, I mean, because like it's like complaining about your bosses.
Yeah, it's natural.
It's like a natural thing that people do. Like,
yeah,
everyone does it in every walk of life.
Yeah,
and the idea that you could just be recorded and that could be sent to your boss is just like that's terrifying.
Yeah, I'm glad Sean deleted that thing I said about middle management, Joe, the other day. What?
Yeah, I've seen it before.
I've been interrogate or whatever harass a witness to. Hey, don't release this video.
That's crazy.
Paul on Margarita 8.
Hey, 3. Then we're done. We're not making a fast 3. All right, it's prediction time. I wanted to delay this as long as I possibly could. The AFC East, mybookie.ag, the odds on AFC East teams. Jets are plus 165. Bills are plus 190. Dolphins plus 204. The Patriots are plus 2,500. I mean, F you, mybookie.ag. You're killing me slowly inside. Plus 2,500 are the longest odds for any NFL team to win a division. The longest!
It's because there's 3 good ones.
Longer than the Giants and longer than the Panthers, and that hurts my heart. Yeah.
Where are you going with this point, Paul?
This is true. It is an interesting division at the top.
It is an interesting division because you've got 3 teams. We could all pick a different team.
I think everyone's sleeping on the Bills. I'm taking the Bills.
Okay.
I feel like the way the Bills finished off last year, bad juju out with Stephon Diggs gone. Okay, appreciating things in Houston, great. I think that they figured out a new way to win. And, I mean, I don't know if they'll beat Kansas City in another matchup, but I think everyone's assuming Buffalo's dead because they lost a lot of pieces. And I don't know. I think it's a pretty well-coached team. McDermott's a little weird, but I'm taking the Bills.
I'm going to go with the Jets.
Oh.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets to win the division.
If you gave the Jets any other name, it would make sense.
I agree with that 100%.
They have the best defense in the division. They have the quarterback with the most pelts on the wall in the division. I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is still better than Josh Allen, but they got everything. They got a pretty good running back. They probably need some more receivers around Rodgers, to be perfectly honest, but the Jets make the most sense. They're just the Jets. That's why I didn't do it.
Yeah, I just think there's so much talent on this
team. I'm not
dumped
on you for that take. I totally get it. The Jets.
This was hard. I think this was maybe the hardest one.
Yeah, this is definitely the hardest one. I think the Dolphins also kind of fall into that category of if you make them Team X, you feel a little bit differently than them being the Dolphins. I think I'm along the same lines as Paul, I believe in Josh Allen enough that they can win this division. I see that he's second in the on the odds boards most places for MVP this year. I think that's aggressive because just I don't think they can be the one seed. I think this division,
especially
this division being so tough, they're going to beat up against each other. But that does strike me as that's about the right way to think of him as his place in the league as a quarterback. And so, yeah, give me the Bills.
All right.
Okay. So Joe's taking the Jets. I am taking the Bills. Sean is taking the Bills. So we're doing quick predictions for all the divisions across the NFL as the show goes along, keeping you also abreast of Astros and Reds. Tie game, nothing, nothing, top of the fourth inning. A man at the plate right now named Alex Bregman. I thought he just popped up again. No, he didn't. But he's back on the field, playing in the lineup again.
Which is nice. Surprise.
We'll see if he ever goes back to third base again. I don't know. And as Joe just said, yeah, it is a nice surprise because the Astros injury staff, oh boy. But Joe Bregman has a spicy Alex Bregman take.
Joe Bregman?
Did I say Joe Bregman? God, there's been a lot of dyslexia in my speaking this week. Joe George has a piping hot, spicy Alex Bregman take for you next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.